Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 117 for March 10th, 2020. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com, and today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So about 30 people submitted up to 5 symbols each over the last few days, and I've put the list together that we will be talking about. And we are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And I've arranged for Jake Bernstein to join us, and Jim, the option professor, and Jim will be moderating. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him now.
Okay. Thanks a lot, David, and welcome, everybody. We're a very special session here today with a very special guest. We're going to be going through your stocks that you have, plus in the middle of the meeting, we're going to go over some shall we say things that Jake has in his mind. Just a quick review. Last time I spoke here with Jake back in October of last year, he was very adamant that the market was building a very powerful potential for a rally that would probably take us into the beginning of the year. Well, that was a very, very accurate opinion at that point. And we saw the S&P go from the 2800 area all the way up to 3400, which was a big rainmaker. So obviously a guy like me who's been around the block, who has an opinion that Jake is a sharp guy, is very interested in hearing what Jake's got to say now. But I know who he is. You guys might not. Jake, a little background on yourself and what you're doing down at the company now.
Sure, absolutely. So I made my first trade in the summer of 1967, and I'm beginning to sound like it. It's been a long time. I'm a real trader. I trade practically every day. Not necessarily a day trader, but short-term and investing trader. I trade primarily futures, but lately, I'd say in the last year, the stock market has been so easy to make money in that I've had to do a lot of stock trading. My work is purely technical. I'm a numbers guy. I don't look at anything other than numbers. I'm not interested in the news. Although sometimes the news helps me get into and out of positions, I don't use the news as my primary source of information for trading. So I like to be specific and clear and objective. I want to know what I'm doing all the time. And that's basically it about me. I've written, 45 books now. Been at 800 conferences all over the world. Been on Wall Street Week, CNBC, you name it. I've been there. It's been a long and interesting career.
And at the end of the broadcast, you'll let everybody know how to get a hold of you, and they could take advantage of the information that you're providing nowadays. We've started out the list here. Might as well start hitting these list here. Is Apple, obviously a very, very big company in many of the indexes. I think it's the biggest holding of Berkshire Hathaway, and it's a company that has been all over the place like everything else. What do we feel about Apple here at 282 after it's been between 330 and 260 lately?
Jim, before we do that, let's talk about the market generally, because
Sure.
Very much a market of a stock market as opposed to a market of stocks, by which I mean the overriding concern fundamentally with the virus and all the rest of that stuff that's going on is really an important issue. And so let's share our thoughts with the people about the market in general. And so why don't you take the lead?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, again, the people are here to hear what you've got to say, but I'll give my 2 cents here. When we were up at 3,400, I thought every light that was flashing warning, it looked like a Christmas tree up there from the advanced decline line failing to make new highs, and sentiment being so ridiculously complacent, and the earnings and the GDP having nothing to do with the price, and the rest of the world totally not jumping up in any type of growth, that the odds were that it was obviously a Fugazi type of rally that was not going to last. And obviously it did roll over. Now, once I thought it would only roll over towards 3,000 in an orderly fashion, of course that was my prayer, but what did happen is it unraveled, and then the virus hits, and then now we got the Russian guys fighting and everything else. So you got an acceleration to the downside. You know, the VIX is the other thing. Once the VIX gets above 20-25, you're in the danger zone. You get above 30, you got a good chance of going to the abyss. So, you watch your VIX. And then the thing that really kept me away from being bullish is the transport and the Russell totally failing to make any new highs. And then transport did roll over, and now they've gone down to levels, 2016 levels. So, what's my feeling? My feeling is obviously we've rolled over. The VIX being so high, you can walk in any day and see it up or down 2,000 points, because the VIX is such a high level that it's going to be a potentially very volatile thing. And if you're still a believer that you're going to 4,000 on the S&P or greater, then obviously, and you think that the virus is transitory, over the next couple 3 months, then obviously you're looking at a great buying opportunity. But obviously we don't know. We don't have all the information that we need. So right now, like I say, it looks to me like it's bouncing around quite a bit, and we need more information to figure out what's going on cyclically and all that kind of stuff, Jake, that's totally where you come in, and also historical situations. So I think everybody wants to know, you know, where you think this thing may go, and and are we still in a bull market?
Yeah, the reason I said what I said was, of course, whether you're a buyer or a seller of individual stocks depends very much on the overriding direction of the market. Mm-hmm. So can everyone see my, can you see my screen, Jim?
Perfect.
So I've got a chart here of S&P futures, and I've marked the highest high in price right over here. The green line is momentum 28. So you can see when we made a new high in price, momentum did not make a new high in price. So I go back to the previous high right over here, and I've got a classic bearish divergence. The high in price is lower. The high in price is higher than the previous high, but the high in momentum is lower, which gives me a trigger point right over here. And going below that trigger point gives us our sell signal just a few days after the top. So in terms of the decline, we've been in bearish mode, triggered completely objectively since that sell. On the bottom of the screen, I've got small trader sentiment, the so-called daily sentiment index, which we do every day out of this office and have since 1987. When the small trader sentiment is high, by which I mean above 80% bullish, we correlate as a leading indicator to tops. When it's extremely low, as it is right now, average of about 10% bullish, we tend to get big rallies. So in terms of the orientation on a short-term basis, this is clearly a bearish trend, which has achieved all profit targets. If you're an investor, you're not using the daily chart, you're using the monthly chart. You go to the monthly chart, getting rid of our little drawings here. The monthly chart is also showing significant bearish divergence because we made a new high right over here. But as you can see, we did not make a new high momentum, and that will trigger a sell at the end of the month. So this is a critical month for the market in terms of finding support. Within the context of all that, Jim, there's been some great trading opportunities, and things are working better than ever before. If you're a short-term trader who can tolerate the big volatility, most people can't. So getting back to Apple, which was the first on our list. I'll bring the chart back up and go to the daily chart, like so. We can see a similarly bearish divergence in Apple. So the trend is clearly down. The question is, what do you want to do with it? I've been buying into weakness on Apple and selling out on strength, and it's still a trading market from the long side in Apple. Now, one thing I'd like to do, and let me show you this. I'm going to switch screens. I always like to ask what's normal and what's not. So I'm going to go to this screen right over here. I'm going to bring up one of my websites, seasonaltrader.com. Not an advertising, just historical perspective. So let me log in and show you something. I want to know the answer to the question. Has there been a normal behavior for Apple going all the way back to the start of trading? So I go to my seasonal charts for stocks. I'm going to show you something very interesting. U.S. stock chart seasonals. I'm going to go to Apple. Sometimes the computer is a little bit slow because it's crunching a ton of data. So let me get there just a moment and go to the chart for Apple. And here we go. Where's the Apple chart? Should be down here somewhere. Just one moment, please. Here we go. It's going to take a moment to post, but it's a really great perspective because on one chart, I'm going to see every year of Apple back to the start of trading and get one chart that shows the so-called normal behavior. So here's the chart. I locate where I am right now, which is March, and I look at the normal behavior of Apple. And basically what it says is this. Because there are no numbers here in these boxes, it means that Apple in the month of March is a 50-50 proposition. Does not give me any edge on the market having these numbers. But going into April and May, these arrows up indicate high probability of up moves. So basically what it says is this. For this month, I want to be a trader in Apple, but come April, I want to find a specific trade in Apple from the long side. So I'm going to go back and show you something else. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to say, oops. Where did I go? Here we go. One moment, please, Jim.
They're having a little bit of trouble, I think, seeing the chart. I don't know.
Oh, you can't see the chart?
We have one up here on Apple.
You have one chart on Apple, right?
It says moving average L8, moving average H10.
Oh, so I'm not sharing the right screen. Hang on 1 second. Let me change screens. New share. Do I do new share?
I guess. David?
Let me try this. Hang on 1 second. How about this?
Oh, well, that's a weekly seasonal composite for Apple.
Success. So let me go through it again.
Yeah.
If I take every year of Apple from 1981 to 2019, and I make one chart that shows the typical behavior of Apple week by week for the entire year, this is what I get. The numbers in the boxes below show percentage of time up or down by week. Where there's no entry, it means unpredictable. Where there's an entry with a green arrow up, it means percentage of accuracy is to the upside. Where there's a red arrow, it's to the downside. So if I go to March, I've got no arrows indicating 50-50 proposition. It's a trading market. But getting into April, things change because I've got arrows to the upside, which basically says to me there's a trade coming up on the upside in Apple and the probability is very high. I can drill down on these statistics and get even more specific if I want to, but that's basically how I determine, am I in a normal market or not? Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to go to seasonal trades here, U.S. stock trades. And this is what I mean when I say I'm a numbers guy. Can you still see my screen?
Sure.
I'm going to go to Apple. I'm going to ask a question. Here's Apple, yep. Month of March. Show me trades in Apple that have been right 80% of the time or more in Apple. I do a search. Computer says, there's nothing for the month of March that meets my criteria. No problem. Let's go to April. Same situation. Show me percent probability, 80% success rate for April. I've got nothing. So basically what it says is I'm asking the wrong question. My expectations are too high. What if I go down and say, I'm willing to accept 70% probability and do the same search. And it's all based on historical records or seasonality. I've got some trades. Buying Apple April 30th, getting out on May 5th has been right 77% of the time. I can see the entire history year by year like so. Every trade every year, track record, etc. So let me get back to the other screen where we were talking about this specific trade. So in terms of Apple, it's a trading market right now. Can you see my screen, by the way?
Yep.
And what do you see?
Annual PL percent.
Okay, let me go back to the previous one. Hold on one second. Okay, what about now?
We're back to that original one you had.
Okay, so in answer to the question, Apple right now is a trading stock. Come the end of April, it'll be back to an investment stock. So short-term trading in Apple only at this time. Should we take the next one?
Sure. Next one is MA, MasterCard.
Again, I'm going away.
Similar to both the Visa as well.
Yep, and here's the chart coming right up. You can see how the structure of all of these charts is basically similar because the overriding trend is down. But we had an interesting pattern in MasterCard today. You can see that yesterday we closed on the low. Today we closed on the high. This is what I call a low hyper reversal, which suggests we go to resistance. Resistance is the top of my moving average channel, which comes in exactly at 296. So as a short-term trader, there's some potential to the upside on MasterCard.
Yeah, it does look like there could be a little bit of a bang there.
Yeah.
The next one is on TLT. And this is something I'm pretty familiar with because I had a very, very large bond position since the 10-year broke under 3%. Mm-hmm. And my feeling was yesterday, you know, after all the time I've been in the markets, that pretty much looked like a parabolic blow off. So I took all of it off the table there. You can always come in again, but you know, that looked like a pretty good blow off to do some selling into.
No doubt in my mind. In fact, yesterday, the small trader sentiment for the first time in years on the TLT and the bonds was about 96% bullish, yeah, which is very unheard of. So again, probability we come back down to support, bottom of the moving average channel right here, which is 158. Still a bull market, very dynamic bull market, but absolutely parabolic. Yeah. I think this defines the term parabolic.
But from 180 to 120, 180 to 160 in one day, certainly it's nice to have your money off the table.
Ain't that the truth? Good trade.
All right, AMD, Advanced Micro Devices.
It's been a great trading stock for a long time, following all the rules, and even though it has a chart that's similar to everything else we're looking at, you have to make a decision. As a short-term trader, all signals have been achieved and targets have been achieved on the short side, but as an investor, for which I use a weekly chart, we're right down at support. So in terms of this market being so bullish, intermediate term, great buying opportunity. Long-term, on the monthly chart, we're waiting to come down to the channel. So again, the orientation you have to the market depends on the orientation you have in terms of time frame. As a short-term trader, you want to be doing stuff that's very different than you want to do as an intermediate term trader or investor.
Yeah, quite often when the VIX gets this high, you know, most of the opportunity is on the long side because the VIX is going to settle down.
Correct.
But that's not always the case, but it is something of a decent odd.
That's what keeps it interesting.
All right, here comes the white metal. Can't get out of its own way. Doesn't like the number 19 very well. SLV, what are you thinking here on silver? Because it definitely had lost its legs here in the last week or two.
Yeah, unfortunately for most people who think that silver is the best alternative to gold, that has not been the case. I am clearly long-term bullish on silver and have been for a long time. But what's right for the short-term trader is not right for the investor. And again, it's not a silver market right now. It's primarily a gold trader's market and not a silver trader's market. Although as an investment, long-term, you can see how different the charts look. Let me show you the chart. Here's a monthly chart for silver. And you can see it's really pointing up and coming right down to support. But the daily, it's more of an industrial metal than it is a precious metal right now.
I think that's what people knew, and that's why they started dumping it rather than buying into it. But here I was looking at like long-term charts that go back decades, and the gold, you know, it went back up towards that, you know, 1900 general area, which on a long-term chart, you know, was kind of like a double high point at this point. The silver, it looked like if it got got above 19 and 21. I mean, the real estate above there is all white. You know what I mean? And I mean, you could really fill in that real estate between 20 and 40 and 20 and 50 if it could get above 19, 21. Do you see it that way a little bit?
Yeah, you know, Jim, this one we should talk about the silver-gold ratio.
Yeah.
Because in terms of the ratio between silver and gold, gold is clearly overpriced relative to silver, and silver as an investment represents a much better value than gold at this time. Let's not forget platinum either, because platinum is good too.
Yeah, I've been in the gold stocks since the GDX was down at 15, 16, 17, but I was going to double up, but I wanted to prove that it could close above the 30, 32 area, because that opens up the, that opens up the 40s and the 50s if it
Correct.
Wants to go. But you can't go to 40 or 50 if it can't sustain above 30 or 32. So I've avoided the gold GDX, waiting for it to pull back and see if it can support. But more importantly, if you really want to try to make a lot of money on something, it's got to prove that it can get above a ceiling.
Right. And check this out, this day right over here. Very important day. You can see my chart, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look at that day. Huge gap opening to the upside. Fills the gap, comes down, closes on the low of the day.
Yeah.
Very significant. The largest range day we've had in a long time. And that, by the way, came in a very bullish small trader sentiment. So that's a big negative on the daily chart. On the weekly, I'm sorry, that is the weekly chart. Let's go back to the daily.
There's definitely some head scratching too. Gold had a big rally while the gold, while the dollar index was going to 100. Now the dollar index has rolled over, and now the gold's rolling over. So people that have more historical standards are probably very confused.
Yeah, a lot of people are wondering what the hell's really going on. And again, it's not always the same game. I hear people say, well, the market goes up, gold goes down. It's not the same game as it used to be many years ago. As I said before, it's a market of stocks as opposed to a stock market.
Well, here's one that you want to go to the next guy?
Sure.
CVX, which is your Chevron. Of course, you can throw Exxon in there too. Obviously, people are trying to figure out, are these companies on sale, and are these dividends for real? And should I be taking a bite out of them?
Yeah, you used to have a great dividend yield, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. But this guy, CVX, is at 6, and I think Exxon is 7-8.
But we can look for those dividends to be cut significantly as a long-term investment.
Yeah,
great. As long as you don't want to catch the falling knife, and that's the one thing I hate doing is catching the falling knife.
Yeah, I did look at long-term charts on oil. The last time we were at 2008. During that crisis, we were at 42. And 2016, when we had a growth scare, we went to 32. So the recent move blew out both those lows, and that's not a good thing.
Here is the long-term chart going all the way back to 1997. We can see some shelves of support down here and again down here. So we probably will get back into that range during this price war between Russia and Saudi Arabia. But in terms of a trade, it's going to do some great stuff on the upside on short covering. But as an investment, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, you really have to figure out how long we're going to stay in this level. And some people are saying that their channel on the chart indicates a possible move into low 20s, even high teens. And if that happens, I think what's really going to happen here is you're going to have a consolidation. All these shale guys are going to be going out. And then Mobil and Chevron, who've been slow to get into shale, they'll go buy them 10 cents on the dollar. And now they're in the shale business.
So one thing we have to watch. I heard a guy on CNBC today talk about $3 a barrel of oil.
Yeah. Well, you know, when it's going down, you don't know what's going on. I mean, it was at 15 back in, I saw that in decades past. I think during the dot-com bust, it went down towards 15.
Here's the yearly chart. So going back to 76. Pretty interesting chart. Okay, what's next, Jim?
Okay, yeah, next. We got Disney. And Disney and J.P. Morgan both have had leadership challenges because of health and because the guy wants to move on in two different instances, but Disney's been on the defensive, and people are wondering. They're talking about closing the parks down and stuff, so I don't know. Sounds like a lot of news at hand here.
It sounds like the kind of bad news you want to be a buyer on.
Yeah, probably.
As you can see from the chart, it would come right back down to where we were back in 2018. So ultimately, I think it's going to be a great buy. I'm not ready to do that yet. I think a lot of these entertainment stocks are going to do extremely well, especially, let me mention this one, Activision, ATVI, had a very good day today and has a significantly different chart. Let me show that chart. There it is. So you can see the big difference between the other charts and this one. So this one's a really good intermediate term investment as opposed to a trade. What's next, Jim?
We got GLD, but I think we already covered it. You want to go over it anymore, or do you think we pretty much hit that one?
I think we covered it.
All right, let's go to the next guy then.
Can I show one thing?
Sure.
Not for most people, but I want you to take a look at this. Hold on, let me get it up here.
You know, the other thing that told us that the gold might be a little frothy up here was that the short-term options option volatility was way higher than the back months. And some people were recommending sell the front month calls and do a calendar spread and buy the back. Right. That might not have been a bad idea because, you know, these short-term calls may go to zero, and at least it gives you your long-term option at half price.
Correct. So here is a chart on Palladium. Mm. Not recommended for most people, but truly an incredible move. From $500 an ounce to $2,500 an ounce. Huge move. Sometimes Palladium futures will move 100, 1,000, 10,000 bucks in one day. So we had a very, very nice long position in Palladium for a long time. But if people really want to take a bunch of risk and they're looking for some excitement, if Palladium gets down to 1782, which is quite a ways from here, it will be a buy again because it's still been in this very long-term bull market.
So I was trying to see if there was any stocks that specialize in Palladium.
EPLT.
EPLT? And are they hanging?
Yeah, let me put it up here. PPLT, Platinum. Hold on a second. Or is it PLT?
Is it Canadian or is it Australian or is it
ETF? It's physical ETF. Let me get it up here.
Oh, it's an ETF. And so there'd be physical metal behind the ETF?
Right.
I got you. Any mining companies?
I think Impala used to be a producer, but I'm kind of lost touch with that. And no, that's not it. I forgot the symbol. There's another one called PGM, which is a platinum group metals ETF. Let me put it up on the screen. PGM daily chart. That's not it. I'm all messed up. I don't know. I don't know my symbols anymore.
Yeah. They say here, Stillwater Mining in Montana is the largest producer of palladium outside of South Africa, SWC. What's SWC look like?
There we go. That's what I was looking for. SWC. Hold on a second.
I don't know how big it is, or I know anything about Stillwater,
SWC. I can't find it. Maybe it's out of business.
Oh, could be, because it's up in Montana, and it might be a small operation, and the first snow that hit blew them out, I guess. I don't know. AFGO. What do we got for there? AVGO.
Avago. Hold on one second. Jim. There you go. And again, we'll go back to the daily chart. Very similar to all the others.
Yeah, Broadcom.
Big, beautiful recovery today. So again, good tech stock to trade. But you will find, in my opinion, that most of these stocks will run into a lot of resistance at the red line, which is a 10-day moving average of the high.
Would that be a little bit of an indication, the 10-day moving average off the high?
Yes.
So throwback rallies sometimes have difficulty at those levels?
Yes, most of the time. In fact, that's a great place to be a seller if you're still thinking it's a bear market.
It gives them some parameters anyway.
Right.
We're at halftime here, so I was wondering if you wanted to opine on some of the markets you're looking at, maybe in the commodity sector, because obviously we went over the gold and silver.
Yeah.
And your view on gold and silver generally is that longer term still bullish, but in the short run, you know, obviously is possibly choppy.
Absolutely correct. Yeah. Let me show you a market that's moving. A lot of people don't want to trade this market, but it's a really good one. Let me get it up on the screen. Check this out. Put it in perspective in terms of what other markets are doing. So here's coffee futures. Mm-hmm. Very bullish trend, followed all the rules. But the thing that's most interesting about coffee is the commercial buying activity in coffee has been huge, by which I mean coffee producers have not been producing enough coffee, and the big buyers, Starbucks and so forth, have been buying coffee like crazy at these low levels. So that's a very strong indication of a bull market that's just beginning.
And it's got a little bit of a setup, Jake, of a 1-2-3 formation if it can blow out that 120 area.
That's correct.
And that sometimes is one of the stronger legs in a formation, isn't it?
You bet. And here's another one. Sugar.
Yeah, I was watching sugar, but I saw it lost some of its altitude. Do you think it's just a pullback, or do you think it might be
right now
on vacation for a while?
Reasonable and normal pullback in a bull market. There's an interesting sugar play. Symbol is CZZ. Cozan. It's a South American producer. They produce sugar and a bunch of other stuff. It's a good little trade. Inexpensive stock and a great trading stock. So that's CZZ Cozan. Another one I'm looking at is this. Let me get the chart here. Wheat. Boring, but a good one.
Yeah, but a little sidebar on the wheat. You know, everyone thought it was going to be soybeans are going to buy, but really they're probably going to buy that from Brazil. Wheat is supposed to be the one that China might do more of the buying. I heard that. Is there anything to that?
Yeah, I've heard the same. I'm not a fundamentalist, but I've heard the same. But what's really interesting is this. Let me show you this chart. ADM, Archer Daniels Midland, in the grain business, made a very nice dividend. It's come down to some long-term support. Here's the monthly chart, and it's definitely worth looking at. I think the dividend yield, let me check the dividend yield on this guy. Hold on one second. The dividend yield is 3.9%. Yeah. Not bad.
No.
So that's what I've got to say about it.
How about soybeans? Oh,
one more.
Okay, sure.
Natural gas. Check this out.
Yeah, that's doing good, yeah.
Compared to what's happened in the crude and the others,
Right.
Natural gas in the last couple of days has gone crazy, and I'm not sure why, because I don't do fundamentals. There's the chart. So rather than collapsing the way heating oil and unleaded gas and crude did, natural gas has actually been going up a lot. It's a beautiful chart.
Yeah, if it gets above that 2 number, it's going to be able to possibly instigate some decent short covering and removal of hedges maybe, huh?
Right.
And that creates a pretty good deal. You know, we're going into the, before we know it, the planting season and the growing season in the grains. And, you know, I've always been interested in the soybeans because I always considered it the Ferrari of grains, and the other cars are either Buicks or Volkswagens, you know, because they move slower. So anyway, it seems to me that this 950 line in the sand, if you really want to be in something that's going to be possibly accelerating, you really got to get above that 950 on soybeans. And do you have any feeling that that could happen from your commitment of traders reports or anything?
You bet. Here's the bean chart right here, and I'm going to show you the commitment of traders chart. So just let me move this chart. Hang on 1 second. This is an interesting chart, a little busy, but so I apologize in advance because I don't like busy charts. Let me bring up the beans. 1 second, Jim.
Mm-hmm. It's similar to the silver in that if it got above its resistance, you know, it could really get some legs going. But if it can't get above the resistance, you might as well keep your wallet in your pocket.
Here's the beans. So let me explain to you what it means. These are the bean cycles. This blue cycle about the bottom right now. The green indicates commercial buying activity. So just not too many months ago, we saw the largest commercial buying activity in history, and the small trader is very negative. You've got all the makings of a big bull market in beans, just a question of breaking up to the upside. And the beans is the kind of market you want to buy on strength as opposed to buying it on weakness.
Yeah, you want to have a crowd with you. You don't want to be instigating the party. You want to join a party.
And as long as we're doing that, let me show you this. Natural gas. Check that out. The cycles have been predictable, not perfect, but predictable. Cycle low right now. Largest commercial buying in the history of natural gas right now. Second largest. So very significant activity here in the natural gas for a big bull market about to begin, as unlikely as it may seem.
Now, here's a question for you. You know, we've had obviously the virus hit China first, and they did say that 8 weeks after they quarantined their first person tends to be when your numbers go down and the thing looks like it's under control. That would put us somewhere in June when this thing could be behind us, or late May. The point being is that copper obviously was trying to get above 3, and now it's kind of hanging on for dear life around 250. If the second half of the year does see a lot of activity and does see the virus go into the background, is copper still a decent opportunity down here, providing it holds this 250, or what do you think?
I'm going to make a stunning prediction. I think copper is going to all-time highs. This chart right over here, this is the all-time high in copper right over here. So again, I go back to the fundamental question. Who is the biggest buyer of copper? It's the Chinese. They're not pulling back from the market. This green activity indicates another spike in buying copper. So for me, the long-term cycle continues bullish. And I think copper, even with its ETFs, is a great buy. COPX, FCX, BPH, Rio Tinto, Southern Peru Copper, all of them are great investments. Some of them pay decent dividends. So in terms of your question, copper, which has some beautiful cycles, by the way, highly predictable in red over here. Again, not perfect, but very predictable. So that's the work on copper.
All right. How about, you know, because obviously interest rates are a very big thing, and it looks like, you know, we're going to zero interest rates and everybody's going that way with it. What do you see in the bond market? Is there a blow off top that may last for years and years as you know, people go back to normal and they find out they can borrow money for nothing. They find out they're employed at 3.5% unemployment, and they can see that when they go to the gas station, you know, they're saving a whole bunch of money there. So they got all kinds of spending money.
Yep.
And in that case, you know, Tom, Dick and Harry and every other relative he has is long that thing. And whenever you see something like that, you've got to start looking a little bit at the other side. What do you think?
You hit the nail right on the head. Check this out. This is the small trader sentiment. This is the most bullish small trader sentiment we've had since all the way back here, which preceded this talk in bond futures. For all intents and purposes, what we've seen in the last couple of days, as a matter of fact, is a blow off top. You'll notice that commercials, by which I mean banks, have backed away from the market. They're not buying nearly as many futures as they did before. So yeah, in terms of the cycle, which is never symmetrical, not never perfect, but in terms of the cycle, yeah, probably we'll go to zero interest rates for all intents and purposes, maybe even negative, but this is coming to an end pretty soon.
And the other thing is, you know, obviously everybody thinks there'll never, ever be inflation again. They must not have noticed their house since 2008 have jumped back 50% or more. And they must also believe that, you know, when people are employed and they have all that access to money, and of course, most things in the world are on margin, right? Meaning you buy your house with a mortgage, you buy your car on a lease.
Right.
The cost to buy those things is going to be so little that they won't care that you've jumped the price 15% because the payment hasn't changed very much.
True.
And so I think they're just underestimating the longer term power of this free money that they're talking about, particularly here in the States where people do not mind taking on individual debt. I don't think in Europe and Asia they run their credit cards up quite as high as we do here.
And from another fundamental perspective, think about this. As a producer, as a commercial, you can buy commodities. You can store those commodities. You can borrow money at basically 0% to buy those commodities. You can take delivery. You can store them and build a big base of supply. Then as the market starts to go up, you unload your supply and make a lot of money. So basically what's happening now, especially in markets like coffee, cocoa, sugar, there's a lot of hoarding by commercials. They're going to take that supply effectively off the market, and that's going to give us our big push to the upside. Call it inflation, if you will.
And I'll tell you, the other thing I noticed when the oil was collapsing, they had a list of stocks on TV that were rising in the oil sector, and they were all oil storage companies.
Sure, absolutely.
And that's just evidence of what you're talking about that may be very factual.
Correct.
You know. All right, well, the next one on the list here is Costco, and everybody likes 5,000 animal crackers at a time. You go to Costco.
And toilet paper. Don't forget.
Toilet paper for the entire neighborhood.
Exactly. You're going to have a party. So let me bring Costco on the screen here. One second, please. COST. Still a great stock longer term in terms of correction to the downside, reasonable and normal. But look at that great support that we found at Costco. We had that one big gap down day right over here and immediately shot right back into the channel, found resistance at the top of the channel. Of all the stocks we've looked at so far, Costco has the absolute best chart pattern. And of course, because people are scared, so they're loading up.
All right, the next guy up is ABR.
ABR, here we go. And again, similar to all the charts we've seen, clearly bearish for the shorter term. As a longer term investment trade, looking at the monthly chart, we are right down at support. So again, if you're an investor, you're buying here. But as a trader, you're waiting for an opportunity to buy, or you're looking for an opportunity to sell short at the top of the moving average channel.
And the next guy on the list is COG.
I believe that's a gas stock, isn't it?
People just want to get into that oil and gas. They smell a bargain. This thing had a super rally of a nickel today.
But look at the chart.
Yeah, chart looks like it's trying to turn, and that's big volume.
Yeah, that is quite impressive. There must be some news here. I'm not sure what it is, but
somebody must believe in it, though, the way they spiked it up almost to 20.
Good-looking charts. I'd be a buyer down at the bottom of the channel if we get there. So that would be down at about 1450.
How about Microsoft?
The perennial favorite. Can do no wrong. Here we go. Clearly bearish short term, but again, your orientation. If you're a long-term bull in the stock, it's a buy at the bottom of the moving average channel. Daily chart, clearly bearish. But here's the thing, Jim. All the stocks that we've looked at so far today in terms of my moving average channel, they've all met their downside targets, every single one of them. So what happens from here on in, now that sentiment is so negative, it's probably going to be one hell of a short-covering rally in spite of the news, unless, of course, the president gets the virus, in which case people will freak.
Yeah. And, of course, if the Fed comes out and does the making money available to the trade desks and to the dealers to make sure we don't have any liquidity or systematic problems like that. That would be like the one guy from Jefferies was saying, you know, if they come in and just, you know, because their balance sheet can expand dramatically compared to Europe and Japan, we have a relatively small balance sheet. So if they really wanted to, they could expand the balance sheet dramatically, and that could be the catalyst that obviously gets the cat out of the bag.
True. One of the things that I've seen on our list that's not on the list right now are the biomedical stocks.
Yeah.
The little speculative stock called Myrna, mRNA Therapeutics. They're doing some work in the field of the coronavirus, and you can see how that's been trading. Mm-hmm. So again, it's the exact opposite of what we'd see in most other stocks. Now we look at stocks like Pfizer, which I really like. Let me show you the chart.
Yeah, that went down towards the low 30s.
Right. Here you go. And here's Pfizer again in a downtrend, but finding good support. Not being able to take up this low just about a week ago is very significant in terms of Pfizer. What else do we have?
Well, I tell you, one last thing, you know, a couple of things. Some people like to, you know, like a rising boat lifts all tides, and also a tsunami sinks all boats. A lot of people like to look at the actual indexes. So can you just look at a few of the different indexes, and we'll start out with the SPYDER, S-P-Y, and get a good look at what the S&P 500 is, and then we can go to the QQQs and a few other things.
There is the daily SPY chart. Oh, sorry. That's not the right chart. There we go. SPYDER. And it'll look familiar to you because we've looked at it before. Mm-hmm. Very nice, significant reversal today, but significant resistance again at the top of the channel at 304, which is where we should run into trouble if we get a further rally.
So realistically here, you know, we've stopped here in the 270 area, and now that's the line in the sand. And so you can try to trade against that and or use that as a line in the sand if you are thinking that the worst is over and we're going to bounce back up.
Yep, and let's look at the cubes.
Yeah,
let's look at the cubes. Here's the cubes coming right up. Very similar chart as you will see. So that's the cues. What else did you want to look at?
I'll tell you one thing I wanted to ask you real quick, because this is just my feeling and it has worked out good for me. The transportation average, I think, is extremely important. And if you put the transports up there and you see that we went down to 8,000, which is equal to the area of 2016 and certainly blew out the December 2018 low, what probability do you place on the idea that the S&P index will follow suit or will be a disconnect? Because if it's going to follow suit, you got to be talking 2,300, 2,400 on the S&P, or worse case scenario, you know, even lower than that.
If you're a believer in the Dow theory,
Right?
But what I like to do in terms of the transports, I like to look at the bigger picture, which is the quarterly chart.
Okay.
Right over here. The quarterly chart basically says we're still in a big bull market. We've got support underneath the channel.
Okay.
The next level would be all the way down here at the March 2016 lows.
Right. And so, what number is that? What number is that, about 7 or 6?
Exactly that number. Hang on one second, Jim. That number being specifically, moment please, 6546 to 6570 on the transports cash to cash index.
So right now it's really indicating that the December 2018 lows are on the table as a potential target for S&P if things unravel further.
Correct.
So that's something that people should keep in mind, that if we do blow out the 2700, 2350 or 2400 could very well be not a far-fetched idea.
Correct. That's what it looks like to me as well.
And again,
we did not have any bearish divergence. In other words, look, when we made a new high in the transports right over here, we then made a new high in momentum. So that's a very big positive for the market.
Okay. And with regards to the Russell, IWM is the ETF for the Russell.
Yep.
Again, that both of these guys didn't take out their highs from 2018.
Correct.
I don't know if that's telling us that 3,400 it could be the high for a long time.
It appears to me that we have a normal correction. Look what I'm showing you. It's high in price, high momentum, both happening at the same time. So again, as a long-term investor, I would be a buyer of this level of stock in the Russell as opposed to a seller.
And you know, that side of the story, because everyone's got two sides to the story, that side of the story does make sense because of the easing of credit conditions, the high unemployment, the high employment, and all the new households that the millennials will be able to start now, because it costs so little to get into a house and obviously so little to get into a car, et cetera, et cetera. Right. And so your demographics could kick in very big time, and they're supposedly inheriting $68 trillion. So this is going to be a very well-funded generation. And that's probably, and with the if the interest rates were to remain in this low area, valuations can obviously go higher than people think. And so that does set the stage for maybe a 4,000 or better on the S&P. Doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think we're going there. I don't think this big secular bull market is over yet, but we did get a pretty good scare, that's for sure. And that scare is over yet.
Yeah. All right. Well, in closing here, as we're getting, is there anything else that you saw? Oh, one last thing I want to ask you is everyone always talks about emerging markets, EEM. And to be honest, I did a homework on it, and most of the emerging markets are either at their December 2018 lows or some are even below it. So from a value standpoint, they look very cheap. Are they cheap or are they just a bad deal? Gone bad.
I think right now they're a pretty bad deal because I think they're worse off than we are.
Yeah. In other words, you know, the two numbers that hit me that this is no joke is 35 on the PMI out of China, and a minus 7.7% GDP in Q4 in Japan. I mean, those are real numbers, and those are real bad.
True enough in this chart.
It makes me laugh when I hear people are going to the yen as a safe haven. They got a minus 7% GDP and a 236-to-1 debt to GDP. Where are you running to?
Here's what's happened to the yen in the last few days. You're absolutely right. It's been an explosive move. Check it out.
Yeah.
But it gave a lot of it back today. It was a huge down day today.
They must have handed coffee out.
Probably. Either that or tea.
So emerging markets, you know, every January they say this is the year, and every January you lose money on it. Or by every February you lose money on it. So
what else we got, Jim?
I think we're covered pretty much all of it. Can you think of anything else? What about China? FXI.
FXI.
We're trying to give everybody, their money's worth, you know?
Equal opportunity traders.
Equal opportunity. Somebody, we must be hitting somebody's interest level today, right?
Must be. A lot of good support down here on FXI. Absolutely. You can see it's been here a number of times. And that's the weekly charts. We've been down here and here and here. And so there should be a lot of good support here. I don't think this move is over with yet to the upside.
And their big stock is BABA, B-A-B-A.
Right.
I was thinking somewhere around 200 would be fantastic. It is a little bit below it now, I think. But
there's Alibaba right now.
Yeah.
And we are we came back up over 200 today. So still a bullish trend. Has not turned bearish.
Yeah, that 190-200 area seems to be a great line in the sand if you wanted to take a shot. But that green and the red line curling over doesn't add too much.
Yeah, exactly. That's
not confidence building. I'd rather have them rising. That's the way. That's the way you like to be in them, right?
Absolutely, Jim. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we are here at the end here of the broadcast, Jake, and I think it'd be a great time to reintroduce yourself and again extend an offer to these people so they can find out more about what you can bring to the table, not only on the seasonals, but the commitment of traders and the many, many other things that you look into.
So, Jake Bernstein at trade-futures.com. So the website is Jake Bernstein. Steam.com or trade-futures.com. If they're interested, send me an email, jake@trade-futures.com. I'll send you a copy of my video newsletter. It covers very extensively every market every week. And Jim, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, it always is, Jake. And I look forward to you coming back again after a little bit more water goes under the bridge and we can see how this thing plays out in the next 8 weeks. It'll be very interesting.
Thanks a lot, Jim. See you next time. And David, thanks for doing this.
Okay, David, this is Jim Kenny, optionprofessor.com. And again, you could reach me at optionprofessor@gmail.com with any questions you have. And right now I'll bring it back over to David Kosmeter.
All right. Thanks guys. Great show. Well, covered lots of different stuff today. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the archive of this show as soon as I can get it posted or of any of the previous shows. So I just want to thank my guests again for today, Jake Bernstein of trade-futures.com and Jim, the option professor of optionprofessor.com. Thanks everyone.
And be careful.